This is Jay Sekulow. James Comey said that the report from Horowitz vindicated him. The response from the Inspector General? I don't think anyone who touched this is vindicated.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Former FBI Director James Comey said this week that your report vindicates him. Is that a fair assessment of your report?
I think the activities we found here don't vindicate anybody who touched this.
Okay.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years. I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by an irresponsible press. And I think that there were gross abuses of FISA. An inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I think it's important to start this from the outset, and that is who's vindicated and who's not vindicated, because James Comey authored an op-ed in the Washington Post, I believe it was, where he said that his team, he himself, and others were basically completely vindicated, that there was nothing wrong. Do we have sound from him? There's not sound. It was in a written Washington Post piece. But then there was a series of questions and answers between Senator Graham and Inspector General Michael Horowitz on that exact point just an hour ago. I want to play it for you.
Former FBI Director James Comey said this week that your report vindicates him. Is that a fair assessment of your report?
I think the activities we found here don't vindicate anybody who touched this.
Okay.
That's a pretty big indictment right there. And that, that's number one. We also learned that James Comey did not renew his security clearance, so he could not answer questions from the Inspector General. How do you see that playing out?
You know, that we found that out just at the end of the broadcast yesterday. Do we have the soundbite from that, guys? I think this was unbelievable to hear from Attorney General Barr, something that was never discussed. It was not disclosed by Horowitz in the report, I don't think. It may be somewhere in those 400 pages in a footnote. But Attorney General Barr certainly yesterday wanted to make sure everyone knew. James Comey didn't really participate in the Inspector General's report because he refused to participate. So he's calling it a vindication of himself, but he refused to even participate, which tells you about the limits of an Inspector General. Take a listen.
I think we have to wait until the investigation, the full investigation, is done. And that's the fundamental distinction between what Durham is doing and what the IG is doing. Durham is not limited to the FBI. He can talk to other agencies. He can compel people to testify. One of the problems in the IG's investigation, I think he would agree, is that Comey refused to sign back up for his security clearance and therefore couldn't be questioned about classified matters. So someone like Durham can compel testimony. He can talk to a whole range of people, private parties, foreign governments, and so forth. And I think that is the point at which a decision has to be made about motivations. And I think right now it would be premature to make any judgment one way or the other.
So, Than, let me go to you on this. This Horowitz hearing is going on now. I knew this was going to happen when questioned. Mike Horowitz was going to tell the truth because people aren't reading 400 pages. And it's not a pretty picture of what they did. The irregularities here were extensive.
I've read the report, Jay, and it is scathing. Look, John Durham can compel testimony, like the attorney general said. That information might not be in the report, but what we do have is piles of missteps and errors and piles of evidence. The IG says that the evidence that he has weren't made by decision makers. Well, guess who the decision maker in those cases was? It was James Comey, and he has already been referred by this Inspector General to John Durham. Jay, if I were James Comey, I wouldn't be saying another word.
He said it was all lies, no treason, so he can't be executed, in his words. No spying on the campaign. I mean, that's how you define that, again. No tapping Trump's wires. That's not how they do it anymore.
Right.
They used human resources, actually. It went further than that. Just good people trying to protect America. No. Horrendously abuse of power. That's real abuse of power. Donate to ACLJ, matching challenge at aclj.org. Donate right now. All right, so let me go to Harry. So
at the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
All right, we're diving deep into this. Inspector General Horowitz testifying right now. There's another issue that's come up, and that's the issue of where this goes. Harry Hutchison, our director of policy at the ACLJ, just made an interesting statement to our Facebook and Periscope audience. I want him to respond to this, and that is kind of the myth of Horowitz being an exonerating report. The veneer of that is being peeled back because people didn't read the 400 pages, let's be realistic. But Horowitz is testifying honestly, and he's saying what the problems are.
Absolutely. And so the evidence stares us directly in the face. The FBI made numerous errors. That's number one. Number two, many of those errors were simply not errors of omission. They reflect deliberate and intentional misconduct. The leading example of which is Attorney Kleinsmith, who received an email, which he then doctored in order to claim that Carter Page was not working for the FBI. Why? Because they wanted to continue to surveil Carter Page and surveil President Trump or the Trump campaign. The FBI inserted a spy in President Trump's office. Why? In order to gather information. Was the spy legally predicated? The answer is absolutely no. So if Michael Horowitz continues to insist that he is bound to assume good faith unless given documentary or testimonial evidence otherwise, I think the American people are still entitled to draw the following inference, that the FBI launched an investigation of the Trump campaign without sufficient legal justification and supported often by misconduct and deliberate malfeasance on the part of FBI agents.
You know, what's interesting here is that in Jim Comey's op-ed for the Washington Post, he tries to address that attorney making the error, and because he realizes that's a huge issue. And this is how he addressed it. Now, think about it. We're talking about a FISA court here. Horowitz concluded that a low-level FBI lawyer doctored, this is from the head of the FBI, saying this in his own words, doctored an email as part of the administrative process leading to the renewal of the application for electronic surveillance of the former campaign advisor. But by getting that surveillance on Carter Page, you could then surveil the entire campaign. Jim Comey is trying to hide that from you in his op-ed. They're saying it's not the campaign. All they needed was one hook in. They get one hook in to all of his phone calls. You can start going through all of those records, all of the people he's communicating with. But again, the idea that on Carter Page's behalf, They were able to continue to surveil him, the Trump campaign, and then ultimately the Trump administration because of a doctored legal process. And Jim Comey writes us off as no big deal. The FISA court has got to be totally changed. I don't trust the system within. I don't trust the FBI to change it. I think that it's going to take a lot of work from Attorney General Barr, who is on the right path. And think about this, okay? The lawyer, the low-level lawyer that Jim Comey is blaming this on, his name's Mr. Kleinsmith. Guess what team he was briefly on? The Mueller team. But he resigned in February 2018 after Mr. Horowitz identified him among a handful of FBI officials who expressed animus towards President Trump.
Do you remember?
So he wasn't removed because of his doctored email at that point yet, which was more serious for getting the renewal. He was removed because he was like a Peter Strzok who had this hatred for President Trump. That's the low-level guy. He was so low-level that Bob Mueller's team asked him to join.
Yeah, right. So remember what I said from the outset, going back 3 years ago.
A lot more people got removed from that team than we knew.
Yes, a lot of people got removed from that team. Here's the reality. Bob Mueller's investigation was flawed from the outset. It had an underpinning that was not justified based on, as we're now learning through the Inspector General's report, I'm sure we'll learn more from John Durham's report when that comes out next year. On the other hand, so that's one side. Then you look at, as Jordan just said, all of the people that came and went through the Mueller team. And you look at all the irregularities in all of this. The lack of professionalism. Then you look at the report itself. And you say to yourself, and now Horowitz is saying, he's acknowledged, that people are not in anybody's hands who touch this or cannot be deemed vindicated. There's a whole series of questions about Brusinelli Orr that have come up. Let's go take a listen to those. We have those?
Versteel, is it fair to say that he had a political bias against Donald Trump?
He, given who he was paid for, there was a bias that needed to be disclosed to the court.
Does it seem that he all personally had a bias, not just because he's on the payroll of the Democratic Party, but he...
Well, we found in the course of this and heard from Mr. Orr about his comment to him that he was desperate to prevent Mr. Trump's election.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Mr. Orr, who's Mrs. Orr, worked for Fusion GPS, who put all this together. So do you understand what is taking place here? Now, Than, the articles of impeachment, if you want to call them that, whatever those are from yesterday, the abuse of process, power and the obstruction of Congress because you exercised your constitutional privileges. Now you got this hearing. How do you see this thing going? I mean, I've asked you that twice because I'm looking at it and saying the tune-off rate here is pretty high. I don't think people are tuned into this at all. But where do you see this going?
Well, I think that's the direct reason that these things are happening at the same time, Jay, to bury the Inspector General report because it is scathing. But I will tell you where it's going on the obstruction articles. The House Judiciary Committee is going to meet tonight to begin that markup. It'll just be opening statements, nothing of substance. And then tomorrow they will vote it out of committee for consideration on the House floor next week. Jay, because proper prosecution takes time, the information in this report is going to take longer to get to the prosecutorial stage. But look, I am absolutely convinced. I know not everyone agrees with me on this, but I am absolutely convinced that evidence that we have in front of us now from this report will end up in indictments of people involved. The piles of evidence are just too long. Just one thing to add to what Jordan said, Jay. The doctored email, that was then sent to the person who was legally responsible for serving as the affiant for the renewal of that Carter Page. Legally responsible for underpinning that application.
So they lied to the court, Harry. We haven't heard from the FISA court yet.
Absolutely. They lied to the court, and to borrow a British phrase, they perverted the course of justice. And so it's clear beyond question that the FISA warrant should never have been initiated. That's number one. Number two, we should note that Christopher Steele was never a source of information. He was simply an aggregator of hearsay information. He had absolutely no direct knowledge. He had not been in Russia, as I understand it, for the last 20 years. Yet at the end of the day, the FBI relied on Steele. They lied about Carter Page. They trampled the Fourth Amendment. They lied to the FISA court. In order to do what? To spy on then-candidate Trump. And then they continued this investigation in order to hamper and impair his ability to govern.
So in the next segment, I don't think we have time to do it in this one. I want to get into, remember the president said they were spying on the campaign and they were saying, no, we don't have, I know we have the bite, but, well, I'm concerned. I want to set this up correctly. There was no spying on the campaign. The president said there was. So how about this one? An FBI agent sent in to brief the president. Is that my understanding? And Horowitz says it's a pretext. The meeting was a pretext. And in fact, basically a 302 type form was filled out on the president from this meeting. Now, I'm going to give you the context of the meeting and all of that when we come back from the break. But folks, we're just getting into this. We're taking your calls as well. Let's go ahead and take one call here before the break so we can keep the lines clear.
Jerry's called in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. I'm glad you brought up that 302 in the president's meeting. Question, how many of these dirty hand people, I wonder, are still working at the FBI that are in that report?
Lots of them, although a lot of them are gone. Peter Strzok is gone. Lisa Page is gone. Andrew McCabe is gone. James Comey is gone. So a lot of them are gone. I don't know what the status is of the lawyer that doctored the email. I think he's under criminal investigation. I'm pretty sure that there's been a that he may well be under criminal investigation, and he was on Bob Mueller's team. I mean, I dealt with that office for 2.5 years. And this whole charade of integrity and I mean, I think Bob was absent during this this process where he's reviewing all this stuff. I think these people were doing their stuff, and Bob Mueller was, you know, at 60,000 or 90,000 feet. And I say that as one of the lawyers that was dealing with this. Who tolerates this nonsense? What? Peter Strzok's phone was wiped clean. Lisa Page's phone was wiped clean. Under Bob Mueller's watch. They want to have an impeachment trial in the Senate? Have it. Of course, it's not going to be on the Bob Mueller report, mysteriously. That's amazingly absent. All right, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's letting you know how.
This is an important time as we are in the month of December, halfway through the month, getting towards halfway through the month of December, and we have a matching challenge to finish out the year. It's important because not only are we preparing for next year, we've really got a lot of work going on right now at the ACLJ that we've got. I saw today the holiday cases are starting to come in, so donate today at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100.
Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
All right, so if you're listening by radio, turn it up and share, call your friends and tell them to listen too, because we're going to get into a portion of this that I think is very critical. And if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope or any of our social media platforms, aclj.org, television, wherever you might be seeing, you want to hear this. I want to set this up. An FBI, paint this. FBI agent goes into the Oval Office to brief the president on a national security matter. Happens. That FBI agent then fills out basically a Form 302 on the president of the United States. Was there a pretext to the meeting? Was the meeting a legitimate meeting, or was this a pretext? Now, I want you to hear the words from Lindsey Graham and then Inspector General Horowitz, and then I'm going to get everybody to comment on this and set this up. Take a listen.
Was that FBI agent spying on Donald Trump when he went in there?
It was a pretext meeting that I'm not going to... The process by which they have to do these meetings...
If you don't have a foundation for a warrant and you continue... I'm sorry, go ahead.
The meeting was a briefing, and the FBI considered and decided to send that agent there to do the briefing. So the agent was actually doing the briefing, but also using it for the purpose of investigation.
Think about this. The FBI agent sends an agent in for a briefing. Horowitz already called it a pretext, by the way. It was a pretext. A briefing on a national security matter, but they used it for the purpose of investigation. So was that Harry spying on the president?
Absolutely. So there was no legal foundation to surveil the president. So what we have is spying. What we have is absolute confirmation by the inspector general that President Trump was telling the truth when he said the Obama administration sent spies in to investigate his campaign. This effort continued after President Trump was elected. And I think it's clear beyond question that there are individuals, part of the deep state, who continue to misinform the American people and misreport information in order to hamper President Trump's ability to govern.
Jordan? Yeah, no, I think, when you get right down to it, the bottom line about this report, the bottom line about what we're hearing from the Inspector General, the bottom line about all of this information is at the corrupt level, at the highest point of the FBI, is so troubling. And yet, what did Donald Trump get punished for? How did Donald Trump get treated? By rooting out these corrupt leaders, which Horowitz has confirmed had no business being in the positions of director, deputy director, so did the FBI Professional Responsibility Office. They tried to put him on the Mueller team. They had to be kicked off that because Horowitz said, yep, get him off. And guess what happened? President Trump, I'm assuming Hillary Clinton would have made the same decision, said, we're getting rid of this guy and his team, Jim Comey. He's no good. And none of this should have happened that followed. There should have been no special counsel. Jim Comey, though, leaked all those documents, remember? Jim Comey's not vindicated. And I think here... I have no idea if Jim Comey will ever face criminal charges on this, but the fact that he's now writing in the Washington Post that, quote, the Trump crowd said, and a whole bunch of former FBI leaders, including me, were likely going to jail. This ain't over, Jim. It ain't over. And, I mean, how many times does he need to hear it from Attorney General Barr, who, by the way, the former FBI director is attacking Attorney General Barr, who wasn't even the attorney general when he was fired. So he's attacking Attorney General Barr throughout this piece. Smart. When he's got a U.S. attorney investigating you, and you're attacking the U.S. attorney as well. So, Dad, the idea that Jim Comey thinks he's cleared of all wrongdoing here, and no one's going to face criminal charges at the FBI, did they not listen to Durham?
They're not listening to this. And I knew, Than, I knew that Horowitz's report and his testimony today was going to change the tone on this whole thing. I knew it.
Yeah. James Comey didn't read this report because he knew the information was going to be damaging. He just tried to rush out ahead of it to make sure that people wouldn't read it, that they would just assume the narrative that was out of it. But look, Jay, if anybody doubts what they're saying, I just encourage people to pull Appendix 1 from this report. It's only about 8 pages long. If you only read Appendix 1, you will find 51 errors, inaccuracies, and omissions in the FISA application reports. By the way, without the Steele report, those FISA applications would not have gone forward. The Inspector General found that conclusively. Those errors underpinned those applications. 51 errors, Jay. Who was responsible? Who was the decision maker?
For a court that doesn't have adverse representation in the courtroom.
And the decision maker was James Comey, and he's already been referred for these actions.
Howard on Facebook says, can you expand on what the pretext is? They went in under a legitimate national security issue with an FBI briefing, but then apparently, Harry, they said to the FBI agent, while you're there, we want to gather investigatory information against the President of the United States.
Absolutely. But basically, this follows a pattern which commenced during the Trump campaign. It was all pretextual. It's also important, again, to reemphasize that a lot of this ties into the quote-unquote Steele dossier, and Christopher Steele never acquired direct information implicating then-candidate Trump. He was simply an aggregator, and it's clear beyond question that in subsequent FISA applications, the FBI knew that the Steele dossier, that the information contained in the dossier was unreliable. We also have evidence on the record, for instance, that Adam Schiff, for instance, has consistently said that the FBI and the DOJ did not abuse the FISA process, that they did not omit material information or subvert this vital tool to spy on the Trump campaign. Schiff's claims were indeed false. Second, Schiff claimed that the DOJ cited multiple sources to support the surveillance of Carter Page. Again, this claim by Adam Schiff is materially false. Third, Schiff claimed that the DOJ met rigorous transparency and evidentiary standards to meet FISA court standards. This is false. Yet this falsifier, Adam Schiff, has been selected by Nancy Pelosi to lead the Democrats' impeachment effort. Based on his prior history as a liar, he is well qualified to lead the Democrats' impeachment effort. Pelosi's decision to select Adam Schiff to lead this impeachment effort is undermined by Schiff's unfamiliarity with one thing, the truth.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's mind-boggling. We are only halfway done with the broadcast, and we're not even halfway done with the first part of the hearing. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more on this tomorrow, too, but we're going to be back in literally a minute. But let me encourage you, we got phone lines open. We're going to take your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Trump campaign's briefings were treated different than the Clintons. That's also now out. Trump campaign had an FBI agent in there under a pretext. That's according to Horowitz. I knew once they started expounding on this report, I knew it. This was going to happen.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell the folks what.
Yeah, so we've got a matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. Let me explain it to you. We've got a group of donors who will match every donation that comes through in the month of December. So you've got to make that initial donation for them to match it, though. So you can double the impact of your donation to the Americans Center for Law and Justice by going to ACLJ.org right now and donating today. That's ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support, and right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at ACLJ.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, you barely know where to start. You start with the fact, and we will start with this fact, that James Comey said how everything was fine and everything was great, and then you had a question during the hearing with the Inspector General Mike Horowitz and Lindsey Graham. And this was about, are these people vindicated? Let me play it for you. This is Lindsey Graham. Horowitz is answering.
Former FBI Director James Comey said this week that your report vindicates him. Is that a fair assessment of your report?
I think the activities we found here don't vindicate anybody who touched this.
Okay.
That's pretty dramatic. So no one vindicated is touching. No one was vindicated touching. Then revelation number two. Remember the president said there was a spy in the campaign or spy. They were spying on me in the White House. Oh no, there was no spying. And I think James Comey actually say that in his tweet.
Yeah, no spying. No, he says no spying on the Trump campaign. There's had been no spying on the campaign.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's because they were spying on the White House when he was president. You ready for this one? Listen to this exchange. This is numbers. I'm recapping what we just covered. 71.
Was that FBI agent spying on Donald Trump when he went in there?
It was a pretext meeting that I'm not going to. The process by which they have to do these meetings.
If you don't have a foundation for a warrant and you continue. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The meeting. Was a briefing, and the FBI considered and decided to send that agent there to do the briefing. So the agent was actually doing the briefing, but also using it for the purpose of investigation.
I want you to think about this. The FBI did the briefing, but decided to use it for investigation. Investigation of who? The President of the United States. Did Bob Mueller know about any of this, by the way? Who knew about this? James Comey? Andrew McCabe? Who knew about this? They're on these networks. Oh, how great it vindicated them. Not only does Horowitz say they weren't vindicated, look what he actually testifies to. It was a pretext, he says. There was a briefing, but they decided to use it for investigation. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, again, the idea here that you've got Jim Comey saying this was all lies, no spying, no tapping, no wires. You know what he didn't put right in there, by the way? No assets. He didn't put that, which is the highest level of intrusion by the FBI is putting actual assets inside your organization, which, as we just heard, was done. And this colloquialism about, you know, what is it, spying? Is it this? Is it that? The idea here is that Hillary Clinton's campaign got briefed on this. Donald Trump's campaign did not.
So, Ben, how does this play out? Now we've got all of this is going to play into the thematics when it goes to the Senate as to what the nonsense that was going on from the beginning. I don't think it'll be part of the necessarily an evidentiary point, but you can't ignore this, although that's not the basis upon which they've outlined their articles of, and now you know why, by the way, they didn't put articles of impeachment on Mueller. That's for sure.
I mean, Jay, if a member of the House read this report with an open mind and an honest mind, I'm not suggesting that many of them will, but if they did, I don't think there's any way you could go to the floor and vote for impeachment because it was such a predicate of the very beginning of this. And look, the point that Jordan just made about President Trump not getting a defensive briefing, that is a major part of this report. And get this, Jay, the excuse that the FBI had for not giving a defensive briefing to the president, to his team, is because the people that were engaged, they thought maybe in improper behavior, might stop doing it. That's supposed to be the very reason you engage in investigation is to stop the improper behavior. That's why they didn't give him the defensive briefing.
Why would they not have given him a briefing? Why would they not have told the president, hey, you got a problem here. This is an issue here, or at least an issue. Why didn't they do any of that? What were they up to? Well, we know what they were up to. Didn't work very well for them. I suspect it's not going to work very well for them again. All right, we'll take your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. Get in your comments on Facebook and Periscope as well. We've only covered the first hour of this hearing, hour and a half maybe. So we'll have a lot more on this. Back with more in a moment.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, there's been some talk now about what's called defensive briefings. I think it's important to kind of set the stage as to what a defensive briefing is. If the FBI thinks something is happening, they would give you a defensive briefing saying, hey, look, we think something's happening here, and in that case, we would take action.
Right, right, exactly. And you would, by the way, you would tell both, if it was during the campaign, you'd tell both major party campaigns. Now here, they only told the Clinton campaign. They did not tell the Trump campaign. And then it looks like when the president was ultimately briefed on it, it was after he had won the election. So he had no idea this was all going on until after he was already elected president, but Hillary Clinton did.
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty unreal. I mean, Harry, I'm going to play this in a moment, but what's your reaction to this? I mean, from a civil liberties standpoint, this is unreal.
I think it is, but I also think that many people are so highly politicized in today's environment that even civil libertarians are prepared to ignore the misconduct by the FBI. Why? Because they've already prejudged President Trump, and so they are not actually looking at the law. But imagine if the FBI, during a Trump administration, engaged in similar misconduct with respect to the Democratic nominee in 2020. Then I think these civil libertarians would come out of the woodwork and say that this is wrong. So I think it's wrong. If it's wrong in 2020, it was wrong in 2016. And I think the Democrats should not ignore that.
You know, Durham is basically, this is what Fox is saying right now, is that Durham didn't agree with the opening of a full counterintelligence investigation on this. But then you brought up a good point, and they weren't trying to stop the activity when it came to the president. They were trying to oust the president.
Yeah, that's why they didn't tell him, Jay. I mean, if they were trying to stop the activity, they would have given it a defensive briefing so that he could have gotten rid of those people if they were doing anything improper. They weren't trying to stop it. They were trying to oust him. The other thing, Jay, the inspector general is declining to confirm that James Comey and the rest of the leadership at the FBI were informed that the Steele dossier was unverified. Jay, we don't need him to confirm that. James Comey's own words were that it was salacious and unverified. So James Comey himself, because he's so eager to talk, has already told us that he knew the Steele dossier was invalid, and yet he signed off on it being the basis for the FISA application.
Take a listen to number 66.
Is there ever a defensive briefing given by the FBI, Department of Justice, to Donald Trump about the concerns?
There was not.
Well, what do you say about that? Well, you say that there were two standards here, and what they were doing was outrageous. All right, we're taking calls, 800-684-3110.
Yet they're trying to impeach the duly elected president who was mistreated this way.
with two articles of impeachment that are absurd.
I'm telling you what's happening. It's interesting. The IG report was being played up by like Chris Cuomo's last night and the CNNs of the world and Don Lemon. And
they're not going to be playing it for much today.
And I was listening to them.
CNN didn't even start covering it when it started today.
And you realize when you put this together with the horrendous impeachment that they're trying to pull in the House with those stupid articles of impeachment, let's just be honest with it. I mean, ridiculous, absurd, obstructing Congress by going to court. Which is a separate branch of our co-equal branches of government. It's called, we have a separation of powers. So civics lessons may be necessary for the House members. I have a feeling the Senate members get it a little bit better for the most part. This idea of abuse of power, but not what abuse. And yet this was a president who has just been so mistreated by his own government, by the officials that work for him. And I want to just to underscore that they are all after him. They are all after him, all trying to bring him down, and they will do anything possible. All think about how many people we now know for the audience, second half audience, that the low level attorney who doctored evidence to continue the war to spy on Carter Page that would then allow them to spy on the Trump campaign, because you just need one hook. The lawyer who doctored that material or doctored evidence to get the warrant to continue to renew, that lawyer was on the Mueller team, and he got removed from the Mueller team because the inspector general told Mueller he's got a bias against President Trump. At that time, they didn't know he was doctoring evidence. They just knew he hated the president. And these were,
and whose team was he on?
That's the third person I know of that was removed from the Mueller team because of their hatred for Trump.
Yeah, and amazingly, the other two's witness, their evidence disappears. All right, now, let's set up the next thing. The FISA warrant abuse here, because it's significant. So they go in for a FISA warrant. They're not getting so successful. And then they realize their entire case is collapsing, and they still go in. So now you just have the Attorney General of the United States addressing this. Here's what Bill Barr said.
They hid information about the lack of reliability even when they went the first time for the warrant. But in January, after the election, the entire case collapsed when the principal source says, I never told Steele this stuff. And this was all speculation. And I have zero information to support this stuff. At that point, when their entire case collapsed, what did they do? They kept on investigating the president and the, well into his administration.
I call that a witch hunt. Among other things, I'd call it. As the president's counsel. Think about what was going on here. Think about the nature and scope of what they were doing. Think about how they played this to the American people. And they're not going to get away with it. And that's why I think John Durham's investigation is going to be, in my view, Than, the critical one here.
I agree. I think he's got the information. In addition to this report, the information that has already referred, look, let's just piggyback on what the Attorney General just said. The renewals of these FISA applications occurred in January, April, and June of 2017. The upper echelons of the FBI all knew that the Steele dossier was unverified at that point, and yet they continued to use it to underpin the investigation. And by the way, Jay, the only reason that that contact continued was because Bruce Orr continued to violate the order to terminate contact with Christopher Steele because he had been leaking to the media. They continued to use him anyway, even though they knew the information was bad, and they continued to use it to underpin their investigation, the investigation that would not have proceeded without it.
Harry, how dangerous is this that's taking place?
It's extremely dangerous. I think it's, not to overstate the case, it's the first step toward a police state. In other words, if you don't have the evidence, why not manufacture the evidence? And so I think it's clear beyond question that, for instance, Christopher Steele was an unreliable source. Indeed, he wasn't a source. And then it's even worse than that. Christopher Steele then relied upon a source who then denies actually adducing the evidence. And so there is no evidence, but yet nonetheless, you have an investigation. You ruin people's lives. And I think it's not too far to allege that this is getting perilously close to the Stalinist investigations in the Soviet Union, where they ruin people's lives just for the fun of it. And that is where we are at unless we address the malfeasance of the FBI and the DOJ. And it's important, last point, to emphasize that what we have is a systemic failure at the FBI.
Yes.
We have exponential failures, systematic failures. As Than correctly points out, if you look at Appendix 1, you can adduce evidence of 51 mistakes. 51 mistakes. And they're going to court and they're saying, oh, we can faithfully support the notion that this evidence is true when it was untrue.
I'll tell you this. I think this is, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to save this for the next segment. I'm going to get more into this, the so-called concerns and the fact that they never told the president about it. Let's take one call. Let's take Adam's call from California.
Yeah, Adam, you're calling in line two. Welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Adam.
Hello. That last comment was exactly what I was asking a question about, and how corrupt is it and how mocking is it that they're able to do what they're doing to the extent where he just put it perfectly. It's false information. And since day one, you and your staff are the only ones that have given us the side of truth of what's going on in the Trump cabinet.
Well, our team, I will say, from our production staff to our lawyers to our investigators to everyone else, have done a great job and continue to do a great job. There's more stuff. I mean, there's so many issues that are still unfolding here. You can count them. You can't count them, actually. Let me tell you what we're doing. I'm going to get into something in the next segment that's very important for you to understand. We're going to play some sounds. We're going to lay out the rest of the case. Obviously, there is a lot more of this. We're only touched the morning segment of this hearing, so we'll get more on that tomorrow. Then Friday, we're going to find out if the Supreme Court is going to take the case up, the president's case involving Cyrus Vance. So there's a lot more. Jordan's going to let you know you support the ACLJ.
Folks, this is a critical time, and it's a great time to donate to ACLJ because you get to double the impact of your donation. And we're getting busy right now with cases about the holidays, about displays, nativity scenes, things like that. Our work is not, like, done for the year. And this radio broadcast is part of what you're supporting as well. So go to ACLJ.org. You double the impact of your donation. What does that mean? You donate $25. Effectively, that becomes $50 for the ACLJ because we have a group of donors that say for every donation that comes through in the month of December, we're going to match that donation. Go to ACLJ.org and make your donation today. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge.
A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Sandra in California has been holding on line 3. Sandra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Who was watching over the FBI when the FBI was actually abusing their power?
Well, I mean, a couple things. First of all, you got the Inspector General just said the Crossfire Hurricane team failed to meet basic obligations on FISA warrant applications. We're going to get into that in a moment. It should have been the FBI director or the assistant director, and it should have been the attorney general. Attorney general recused himself. The FBI director apparently is complicit in this, as is the other hierarchy of the FBI. So then you play this soundbite. I think we got to set this up right. So, Sandra, that's what it's supposed to be. Take a listen to 71.
So let's play this out. They never told Trump about the concerns. Is it fair to say there came a point to where surveilling Carter Page became unlawful?
I will let the court decide that. The court has this report and will make that decision.
Let's put it this way. If you don't have a legal foundation to surveil somebody and you keep doing it, is that bad?
Absolutely.
Is that spying?
It's illegal surveillance. It's not court-authorized
whatever
surveillance.
Whatever illegal surveillance means, they did it.
And illegal surveillance is spying, Harry. I mean, I think Lindsey Graham is brilliant.
Absolutely. So I think it's clear beyond question that Inspector General Horowitz was forced to admit under cross-examination that illegal spying did in fact occur. So I don't think you can contest that particular conclusion. Nonetheless, because we live, sometimes it appears, in an alternative universe, yeah, the Democrats are going to claim that there is no evidence of spying. It is spying, plain and simple. Bill Barr was correct when he suggested that spying occurred. President Trump was correct when he suggested that spying occurred, illegal spying occurred. And I think the American people should reach that conclusion as well, because there was no legal predicate for the surveillance. So it's illegal spying, plain and simple.
All right. So, Jordan, I'm going to play this other bite in a moment, but it's on the FISA warrants, and it talks about how the applications were changed and the exact opposite put in from what was originally in. But we were complaining about these FISA warrants from the beginning. We knew there was something wrong.
Yes. It was absolutely, something was going on where they were, well, we now know, they knew they didn't have enough information. So they were like, how can we get a FISA warrant so we can spy on this Trump campaign? So we get don't even say spy, just use their word. So we can get surveillance on a U.S. presidential campaign that's secret. Well, we don't have enough information. Carter Page, and they left out that he works with like the State Department too.
Right.
That's why he's overseas a lot. I mean, you know, unbelievable, right? Not anymore, though. So ultimately, they keep trying to figure out, how do we get the war? How do we get the FISA warrant? How do we get it? Oh, we'll take this Steele dossier. Now, we'll also tell the court that you can trust Christopher Steele, because he did a major investigation for FIFA, the World Soccer Organization, which had a lot of corruption in it. And they used all this evidence that he gathered in this report that he did in their case that they had in their kind of when they reshaped FIFA, which they had to do, and remade FIFA. And guess what? That was all a lie. FIFA, the organization, thought that Christopher Steele's info was all bogus and made up, and it had no basis of fact.
Yeah, well.
So they lied about even his credibility for work he had done in the past.
So listen to Senator Grassley question Horowitz about the October 11th draft of the FISA application, stating that the FBI believed Steele was the source of the Yahoo article, but that it was mysteriously removed from the October 14th draft. Take a listen to this.
An October the 11th draft of the FISA application stating FBI believed Steele was the source for the Yahoo news article, but it was taken out in the October 14th draft. Why did the FBI originally say Steele was the source? And what factual basis did the FBI have to change that and tell the court that Steele was not a source?
This is what was so disturbing about that event, which is the initial application said, as you noted, that the FBI assessed that Steele was the direct source or was a direct source. And on October 14th, the drafts changed to the exact opposite.
Yet the Yahoo article was the one that they used to so supposedly corroborate Steele. So none of this was true. We are just into 2 hours of testimony here. So, Than, this is not playing out very well for those that were opposed, that were so excited yesterday. Not playing out exactly as they planned.
Jay, they were altering evidence all over the place, altering emails, altering what they knew about Steele being a source. And look, here's the bottom line for me. These 430 pages, they're difficult to read. They are. I know. I've been through them. Also, the inspector general's testimony, it's a little boring. It's a little bland. Maybe that's to his credit, Jay, because he's really only responsible for putting the facts out. The prosecutor is the one is responsible for pursuing that. But look, here's what the inspector general did do. All of the things that you've laid out, Jay, it's why he referred James Comey for prosecution. It's why he referred, quote, the entire chain of command to the Department of Justice. Jay, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about just how damaging this report is, then nothing will.
All right, so take a listen to this.
We found that investigators failed to meet their basic obligations of ensuring that the FISA applications were scrupulously accurate. We identified significant inaccuracies and omissions in each of the four applications, 7 in the first application and a total of 17 by the final renewal application.
So I want you to understand that. If you add that up, that's 51? So you're talking about there's 4 applications, 7 errors in the first applications, 17 by the final application. And Than, you're saying that there were actually 51 errors in inaccuracies, depending on how you define those two terms.
So he lays it out all in Appendix 1. People can go look at it. Many of those errors repeat. So when he says there are 7 in number 1, all 7 of those errors, Jordan, carried through to all 4 applications. But all told, he lists 51 errors over the 4 applications.
So how do you even start compounding this?
51 errors in FISA application. I mean, this is, again,
to a court that has no opposing view.
And it was utilized to spy on an American this time. It's supposed to be foreign surveillance, but this time they used it to try to make Carter Page into a foreign agent, even though he was helping with the State Department. So that's why he was working with foreigners. So they used it to get an American.
Harry, give me a 15-second takeaway here.
Well, this reflects, in my view, a conspiracy within the FBI to support illegal surveillance and to basically commit a fraud on the FISA court.
Folks, I mean, there's a lot to get into because this hearing is just ongoing. And I think what we're learning is that this hearing is becoming explosive and very damaging for Democrats. It is the exact opposite of what they wanted to happen during this impeachment because they thought they got away with something with the Horowitz report. And they used those talking points before anybody had gotten a chance to hear from Horowitz directly. And now that they're hearing from it directly, it's very damning of the FBI. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life online at ACLJ.org.